Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. And this is God's word to us this morning. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen. And this is God's word to us this morning. Let's bow our heads for a moment and let's just pray together. Father God, we pray this morning that, again, in a very familiar story, that you would help us to hear your still small voice speaking to us. Father God, we pray that you'd help us not to think that we know it all already, but Lord, that we would be open to hear and to receive new and wonderful truths in your word. We pray that you might encourage us, speaker and listener alike this morning, that you would challenge us. Indeed, Father God, that you might even change us. So be with us in these moments and speak clearly to us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on a short-term mission trip, Pastor Jack Hinton was leading worship at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. A woman who had been facing away from the pulpit turned around. "It was the most hideous face I had ever seen," Hinton said. "The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. She lifted a fingerless hand in the air and she asked, 'Can we sing, count your many blessings?'" Overcome with emotion, Hinton left the service. He was followed by a team member who blurted out to him, "I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again." After a moment's silence, Hinton replied, "Yes, I will, but I'll never sing it in the same way." Despite all of her problems, despite all of her difficulties, this woman knew what it was to praise God and to thank him for all he had done and was doing in her life. We would struggle at times with that, with all that goes on in our lives and in our situations, but not for this woman. And she reminds me in some ways of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary wasn't struck down by leprosy. She didn't have a hideous face and fingerless hands. But she had a lot going on in her life. She had turmoil. Strange things were happening. She now had a baby within her, even though she wasn't married. And there's a whole struggle there for her. But even in the midst of that, she was able to sing a song of praise. And so you remember that this Advent season, we're looking at the songs of Christmas. And in particular, those first songs as recorded in Luke's Gospel for us. Last week, we began with the first song, Zechariah's song. Interestingly, I wonder how many people noticed my error. deliberate, it was, but obviously not anybody, or not anybody that's brave enough to own up. Was Zechariah's song the first song recorded in Luke's Gospel? No, Mary's was. So I got it wrong last week by doing the first song of Christmas, but I did that for a reason, because John the Baptist came preparing the way for Jesus. And so this week we get the chance to go back and look at Mary's song. Mary had found out sometime before we joined the reading this morning that she was pregnant and expecting a baby. This was a shock for her. She was a teenager who was engaged to be married. Engagement, of course, meant much more in her day than it does in ours today. In the culture she lived in, engagement, or betrothal as it was known, was a legally binding agreement. It could only be broken by divorce. And if either Mary or Joseph was found to be unfaithful during this period, it would be deemed as adultery. And as we know from the book of Deuteronomy, you great Bible scholars that you are, and from the law given there to the Israelites, adultery is punishable by stoning to death. Mary was unmarried, and she has no idea how her fiancé, how her parents, how her family, how her friends will react to her. Perhaps this is why, once she had got things sorted out with Joseph, that she heads off to see her relative Elizabeth. Perhaps her parents thought it best that she hide away for a while, and that's maybe why she went and spent these months with Elizabeth. Of course, there's another logical explanation for this, and it could be that Mary simply wanted to go and to be with Elizabeth during the last trimester of her pregnancy to help her through. And knowing that Elizabeth's son would be the forerunner to her own, she probably wanted to be around and to help if she could. In any case, what we have here is a poor, frightened, and pregnant out with wedlock teenager. She is shocked and she is surprised. She lives in the fear that she'll be rejected by her family and her friends. She lives in fear of being stoned to death if people find out, make a big deal of it, and call her an adulteress. These are difficult and frightening days. And if you had been Mary, I just wonder what you'd have said to the angel as the angel had come to Mary and said to her that she was going to carry God's son in her womb and she was going to give birth to Jesus. I wonder what you would have said when you heard it. Would your words have been like mine? Get lost. Get out of here. Go away. I'm not doing it. Not Mary. She said in Luke 1 and 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Here I am. Use me, said Mary. And shouldn't that, friends, shouldn't that be the cry of all Christians, of all of us today? Here am I. Use me. Send me. And as Mary accepts her role in life and this task that the Lord has given her, she heads off to see Elizabeth, her relative. When they meet, Elizabeth's baby leaps within her womb and she is filled with the Holy Spirit. She knows what's going on. She knows about the child that Mary carries in her womb and she proclaims how blessed she is that the mother of her Lord has come to see her and spend time with her. And at this, Mary began to sing. Oh, things may have been difficult. She may have been worried about what was going to happen and how she would be treated, but here she is, being greeted favourably by a family member because God is at work in both their lives and both their situations. And so we see Mary rejoicing and singing a song of praise to God despite her circumstances and her worries. And just like the woman in Tobago, we see that a song can be sung to God even when difficulties abound around us. Remember back to the other week when we're finishing off our latest batch of John's Gospel. Let there be joy. Let there be joy in whatever circumstance because God is with us. And as Mary sings, she reveals a heart that is in love with the Lord and also a mind that is saturated with the Old Testament scriptures. See, she teaches us that we can praise the Lord in spite of our circumstances at the moment and that God's grace is sufficient even in the most troubled of times. Mary's great song of praise has come to be known as the Magnificat. The Latin translation of the first few words which Mary speaks, literally meaning, "My soul magnifies the Lord." This doxology is a hymn of praise before God. It reminds us today that the birth of Jesus is about far more than gifts, trees, Santa Claus, Rudolph, Frosty, and even one of my favourites, the Grinch. Christmas season is about our relationship with the Lord. It's about learning to celebrate His glory and His goodness. And so this morning, let's spend some time looking at this great anthem of praise and join in Mary's song. And as we look at Mary's song, we see a number of key themes coming through. And there's a little bit of homework. It's not homework, what we've been calling it in Christianity Explored, we give them homework every week. Somebody said to us it was an enrichment experience, or words to that effect. So your enrichment experience this afternoon, friends, is to go home and to look up Hannah's prayer, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and see some of the similarities with Mary's song that we're thinking about this morning. Mary knew her Old Testament scripture. And her song is firstly a song of the redeemed. Verse 46, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Here is a lowly young teenage woman who comes from an ordinary poor background. Her fiancé is a carpenter, hardly the best paid of jobs, yet she has grown up knowing her scriptures. And more importantly, she knows her status in life as well. She is a sinner who needs a Saviour. Mary was born in sin, and she stood in need of a Saviour. You and I are no different. The Bible teaches us that God created this world and everything in it, and He sat back and He thought to Himself, "Boy, this is good." Man sinned though, and ruined everything. And every man and woman, boy and girl, is now tainted by sin. We were born into sin, and we continue in sin, no matter how hard we try. Romans 3:23 teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 tells us that there is no one righteous, not even one of us. We have all sinned. We all need a Saviour. Mary recognized her state and her position. She knew from her understanding of the Old Testament scriptures that she had fallen short of God's perfect standards. She knew that she was a sinner, and she also recognized that she could do nothing about sorting that out for herself. She needed a Savior. She needed someone to take her place and to pay the price. She needed someone to save her and to free her and to redeem her. And Mary recognized that God was bringing that Saviour into the world. As the angel had spoken about to her back in verse 30 and following, Mary understood this to mean the Messiah was coming. In fact, she was going to be in the highly favoured position of carrying the Messiah in her womb and looking after Him as a baby in all of His human frailty. Her knowledge of His scriptures enabled her to see the full meaning of what she was being told, and she knew. She knew that this babe within her was Jesus, God's own Son, who took on flesh, as John tells us, and made His dwelling among us. And she knew all that had been prophesied about the Messiah. And so she saw that God had turned into her Saviour. He was sending His Son to be our Saviour. And that's the remarkable thing about this birth. I was asked to speak up at the CU Christmas Carol service this week at the university on the subject of what's so amazing about Christmas. And before I came, they had gone out with their little video camera and they had stopped students in the middle of the thoroughfare of the university, different students from different backgrounds and situations, and they asked them, "What's so amazing about Christmas?" And you know, in almost every clip we watched, and these were just little sound bites, and everyone, we got Santa Claus, we got snow, we got parties, we got family, we got Christmas trees, and very, very few of them did we get anything about the birth of Jesus. What's so amazing is that despite us being sinners And despite us being lost in our sin, God loved us enough to send his own son to the earth, this earth. And the amazing thing in all of that is that Jesus left behind him the glories of heaven, a place where the streets were paved with gold, to come and to walk in a dry and dusty land, that he came and took on frail human flesh and lived among us. We have all sinned, as we have been reminded, and sin is a penalty, as Scripture tells us as well. But the remarkable thing is that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. He has come to redeem us. And Mary recognized this. And her song is at first a song of the redeemed. She has been saved and she wants to praise God. And we can too. You know, your life might be falling apart this morning. There might be terrible things happening to you and to your family. During this credit crunch, your finances may be too tight. Your job may no longer be secure, but there is hope. Your family may be struggling with illness, with ill health, with diseases, with accidents, but there's hope. Everything around you may seem hopeless, but hear this, you have been redeemed. Jesus Christ was born as a babe in the manger at Christmas. He grew to die a criminal's death on a cross at Easter. But he did that to save you and redeem you. He died that our sins might be forgiven. Think about this. Because you have been saved, because you have been saved, you will never go to hell. You will never stand in judgment on account of your sin, for Jesus has wiped the slate clean on that one. You will be granted access into heaven, and you will experience the presence of the Lord throughout eternity. You are a child of the King right now, if you have put your trust and your faith and your belief in him. I am simply saying that we have abundant reason to rejoice, as did Mary. Things might be difficult, and I don't want to belittle those in any shape or form, because many of us have real struggles in our life. But Mary had a personal relationship with God and was blessed richly by him, and she recognized firstly that she was redeemed. And being redeemed, we have that hope and that certainty of heaven in front of us. Next, we see Mary sing a song of the regarded, verse 48. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Mary was a nobody. She was a little servant from an ordinary family. She had nothing in her appearance to attract God to her, nothing in her makeup to make him see her, nothing in her working life that he would desire her. And that's the point. Mary was regarded by God. He was mindful of her, not because of anything she was, has done, or will do, but because of his grace. It's all about God. He needed a woman to carry his son, to give birth to him, and to mother him during those early years of his life as a human being. God's grace reached out and chose a lowly servant called Mary, and Mary realized she was regarded by God. He chose Mary because it had been in his plan down through the years, as you trace back the family lineage and everything. But Mary was regarded by God through his grace. You and I are regarded by God through his grace. Not through anything that we have done, not through anything that we are doing, not through anything that we possibly ever can do. You know, I could be the best pastor in the world and strive to be that all of my days, getting better and better and better all the time. But on the account of just being a pastor and a preacher, by jingo, that doesn't get me anywhere. God's grace. Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me and for you. Mary was regarded by God. More than being regarded by God or of God being mindful of her. The Greek word there, epiblepsin, literally means to turn your eyes upon or to look on. God turned his eyes on Mary and didn't simply see an ordinary teenage girl. He saw Mary, the mother of his son, our Saviour. What is it he saw in Mary to make him regard her? She was a humble servant. He saw, first of all, her knowledge of and her love for the Scriptures. Mary knew her Old Testament. She understood the law and sought to live by it. She recognized the words of the prophets about a coming Messiah. She acknowledged that as God's servant, she would do what she was called to do to bring that about. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary lived for God. She was regarded in her humble state as well. The Greek more literally means humiliation or lowly estate. Mary was an ordinary working teenage mum. She came from a working class background. No shame in that. She gave her all her work. She knew her position. She was humble with it. And as she was humble with the fact that she couldn't believe that God would choose her for this task, let's remember, she was a servant as well. The word servant coming from the Greek doules, the female tense for a slave, a handmaiden. Mary was simply an ordinary female slave in that day and culture. She was humble in spirit and in attitude. And that's the quality of Mary that shines through in this passage for us. Mary's deep sense of humility. Mary recognised that she had been regarded by the Lord despite her background and position. She was regarded not on account of anything she had done or could do, but simply on account of God's grace. And that's what salvation is all about as well, as we thought a moment or two ago. We are redeemed by Jesus' blood shed on the cross. We are chosen, called and saved, not on account of anything we have done, but on account of His grace. We too can sing a song of the regarded. Mary goes on to sing a song of the rewarded. Verse 48 again. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary recognizes that God is doing something pretty wonderful in her life. After all, she is to be the means by which the God of eternity would break into human history. What a remarkable story to be able to tell. And let's remember that Mary treasured all of these things up, as we will later read about the shepherds coming to visit her after Jesus is born. She treasures all of these things up that she might ponder them later and praise God for them. Well, many in her day ridiculed her and talked about her. She knew that in days to come, others would look back on her obedience and know that she had been blessed by the Lord. Her reward was in the fact that God was to be glorified and that others would be blessed by her actions. Mary has been told by the angel Gabriel what this child would grow to do. Mary recognized she was carrying the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. It didn't matter to her what others might think in the short term. She was looking at the bigger picture. She knew that Jesus would grow to save the world, and for her to be part of that was simply amazing. And that's the amazing thing for us as well. That God takes ordinary people like you and like me, and He uses us in His service. He takes us and He rewards us by using us to reach others. Do you know, there's nothing more fulfilling as a Christian than being able to lead somebody else in a prayer of salvation. Nothing. But our part in all of that is a tiny little thing. Our part is witnessing to them and pointing them to Jesus, because Jesus did it all. But small though that part is, it is so important. And the rewards for other people can be eternal. They are being saved from a life without hope for a priceless and wonderful eternity. Mary saw her reward as the fact that God had done amazing things for her. He has done amazing things for us. He has saved us through His grace. He has loved us so much that He sent His Son to save us. And by jingo, does He not do wonderful things in our lives day by day? Don't we see Him at work in so many different areas of our lives? And friends, just how often do we actually forget to go back and give Him praise and thanks? Mary sang a song of the rewarded. And finally, she sings a song of the remembered. Verses 50 to 53 talk of the redemption that is coming, which Mary has remembered already with her song of the redeemed. And she concludes in verse 54, "He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." Mary recalls how God has remembered His promises and His people. And so she sings her song of the remembered. "God had promised through our fathers," says Mary, "that He would send a Messiah, that He would save us and redeem us." This phrase, "our fathers," goes back to their forefathers, to all who have gone before them in generations past. Mary knew her scriptures. She knew the promises that God had revealed through the prophets. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God had promised years before that a Saviour would come, and now it was coming to pass. The child within her womb was Jesus, the Saviour of the world, and Mary rejoiced in the fact that God had remembered his promises. God had also remembered his people. Mary says here that God has remembered his servant Israel, and he is not simply talking of the country, he is referring to the people of God. Years before, God had promised Abraham, as he made a covenant with him, that he would bless him, that he would make him into a great nation, that all nations would be blessed through him. And this was all coming to pass. God's plan for redemption now was entering the penultimate act. Jesus was coming to earth. He was going to be born as a babe in the manger. God had remembered his people. He was coming to save them. The Word was becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us. We too can remember again that God always remembers his people and his promises. We thought last week of prayer answered and promise kept. God knows who we are. He knows where we are. He knows what we are going through at this particular moment in time. And he is faithful. He will never leave us or forsake us. Remember his promises. Take comfort that he always keeps them. He remembers you. And he will reach down and he will meet you at the point of your need today. We are indebted to Mary this morning. Not to the extent that we fall before her or her statue and worship her, for that's not what this is all about. And others have cornered the market and getting that wrong for so long. There is only one person to worship, and that is God alone. Not that we should pray to her, for again, there is only one who hears our prayers and answers them. Not that we should hold her higher than anyone else who has ever lived, for the only person we ought to do that with is God. We owe Mary a debt of gratitude, though, for reminding us this morning that we are a redeemed people. God has come to earth, and he has saved us. Jesus left the glories of heaven and exchanged his throne for a cross. We are a regarded people, for God has remembered us in our sin and our shame and in our fallenness, and still he has come to bless us and to save us through his grace. We are a rewarded people, for he has done great things for us, in us, and through us, and continues to. And we are a remembered people. God does not forget his promises, nor does he forget his people. With that in mind, I ask you this morning, do you have the same heart that dwelled in Mary? Are you in a personal relationship with Almighty God today? Are you in such a position that you walk with the Lord, and that you truly celebrate him this Christmas? Is there a need for you to come to him and meet him on a personal basis today? Is there a need for you to come to him and make things right with him right now? Is there a need in your hearts to just come and bow before him and worship him today? Whatever your need is, please come to him today and let him have his way in your life. Let's join with Mary and let's sing the songs of Christmas. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for these songs of Christmas that we're able to read and to think about and to learn from. Lord, we do thank you for the reminder this morning of the song of the redeemed, the regarded, the rewarded and the remembered. We thank you that you have redeemed us. We thank you that you have regarded us in our sin and our shame. We thank you that you have rewarded us through your grace. We thank you that you have remembered us. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he was born as a babe in the manger as we celebrate at this time of year. We thank you for that most amazing gift of love you sent to this world. What's so amazing about Christmas? That you sent us the most wonderful gift ever. Lord, we thank you that Jesus lived, that he died on a cross to save each one of us. We thank you it's only through the shedding of that blood and that broken body that our sins are forgiven. And Father God, I just pray in these moments this morning that if there are any here who don't know you, any here who do know you, but they've wandered away, that maybe today's the day they have to come back. Father God, if there's those here today who have placed other things before you and seen them as more important, Father God, that maybe just this morning they would come back to you right now, they would come to you for the first time, that they would come to you for a second or a third or a fourth time, that they'd be willing to lay down the things that they regard as more important, and that they would turn their lives back around and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, work in great power in this place in these moments. And Father God, for those of us who do know you, who do love you, who do live for you, help us to be able to sing the songs of Christmas as well, that we might praise your holy name. Holy is his name, sang Mary, and holy indeed is your name this morning. We thank you and we praise you for your word. Help us to continue to mull it over as we leave later on this morning, and help us to give you praise, glory and honour in these days. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.